1-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
Well, a tough one last night for the M's as they go down for the first time this season, and the series now split between the Mariners and Angels, one apiece. Welcome back to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. Thanks for being here once again. A tough night for the M's against a very familiar foe, and C.J. Wilson will break down the game in detail. A lot of good things happened in the game last night. We'll talk about that. But, of course, C.J. Wilson had control of the M's as he has done before. So we'll break it all down coming up. We have a couple other things to get to in this podcast. One, a very important question is answered by Shannon Dreher with Fernando Rodney. How many arrows does he have ready to go for this season? Wait till you hear the answer. I think you'll like it, especially if it turns out that way. We're also going to hear from Angels catcher Chris Iannetta. He has some very interesting things to say about Felix Hernandez and facing the King. He was on the wrong side of that in the game 2 days ago in the opener. It's always interesting, I think, to get the opponent's take on Felix Hernandez and really any other Mariners pitcher, but I always love getting the take of the opponent. So we're going to have Chris Iannetta coming up in the podcast. I also have a few questions to answer from Zachary, a long list of questions he sent me. I'll get to a few of those. Also, a little shout-out to Blake, at Blake Lawatch, who's listening, who sent me a tweet yesterday saying his goal was to listen to every single podcast this season. So I hope you're listening to this one. Number two, you've got a long ways to go. Thanks for the messages. Thanks for the emails. You can always reach me, GaryHillPXP@gmail.com. If you have questions, research projects, I'm always into as we move past the beginning of the season. My computer should be fixed today too, which is awesome. So I won't have this makeshift thing I have going right now, but I'm still getting them out. I guess that's what matters the most. And you can always tweet me at Gary Hill Jr. Tweet me anytime. Okay, so here we go. Game last night, as we'll break this one down. Mariners facing C.J. Wilson, a common foe. Faced the Mariners many, many times, and he has done this many, many times to the Mariners.
Wind up and the 0-2. Swing and a miss at a breaking ball down and away, knocking it down Iannetta. His throw to first in time, a strikeout for Wilson, and that retires the side. 17 in a row retired by left-hander C.J. Wilson.
You know, I think this was an important game in what two teams were looking for. And it's just one game, so it's not going to tell the tale of the season or anything. But I think both teams with the guys on the mound, James Paxton for the Mariners, C.J. Wilson for the Angels, I think both guys, as I talked about in the podcast yesterday, will be huge keys for both teams this year, one way or another. I think for James Paxton, he can really take the Mariners' rotation to elite status. And I think the Angels need C.J. Wilson to be consistent this year. If he's not, I think the rotation is really going to struggle. If he pitches like he did last night, I think the Angels are going to be in pretty good shape. So I think both guys are very key. And I think the Mariners have to like what they saw from James Paxton in the start yesterday.
Here's the pitch on the way. Strike three called. Freeze. Takes a look at strike three, and there's one out for the Angels here in the top of the first, and James Paxton has his first strikeout of the season. The 3-2 runner goes, and a swing and a miss, strike three. Paxton strikes out Mike Trout, and for James Paxton, that is strikeout number five tonight.
Unfortunately for the Mariners and Paxton, it was a mistake that cost him.
The pitch, swing and a drive deep into the gap in right center field. Jackson going back, and this one is gone. Goodbye, baseball. David Freese with his first home run of the year with Pujols aboard. And the Angels have taken a 2-0 lead here in the top of the fourth inning. Opposite field home run for Freese.
So all in all, Paxton tagged with the loss, but pitched pretty well. Six innings, four hits, two earned runs, one walk, five strikeouts. And he talked about it after the game. Two mistakes, that's what hurt him.
Made a couple mistakes. I left a cutter over the plate to Pujols there, and he hit that ball hard. And then made a mistake to Freeze, left that fastball up and away to him, and that's where he hits the ball hard. You know, I was trying to go down and away and left it up.
You've seen the Angels in about a third of your career starts. Does that make any difference how many times they've seen you and how comfortable they might be around you?
No, you know, I think it's I know them, they know me kind of thing. And you just have to play the game, and that's the game within the game of just pitching.
Overall, James, how did you feel tonight? Tough game for both offenses.
Yeah, I felt good out there. You know, my stuff was coming up pretty well. Just made those couple mistakes there.
And then on the other side of things, the Mariners get blanked by C.J. Wilson, manages two hits. Funny enough, both the hits were first-timers. Ricky Weeks, Nelson Cruz coming through with their first hits as Mariners.
The windup by C.J. delivers, swinging a ground ball off the side of the mound, and it skips into center field for a base hit. A rocket on the ground off the bat of Cruz, and he has his first hit in the Mariner uniform. The 1-0 swinging a ground ball left side and through. It gets past Ibar. Ricky Weeks, his first hit. Weeks aboard at first base.
But they could not muster anything against the tough lefty. And Logan Morrison, he put Wilson in perspective after the ball game.
He's a good pitcher. I mean, he's been around for a long time. And, you know, when he throws strikes and commands his fastball, he's got a really sneaky heater, short arm. Shoot, that's all I saw pretty much today. So, you know, he left some over the middle of the plate. Didn't hit him as well as I'd like to. You know, I saw him mixing up on a lot of change-ups and stuff to the righties. And he's kind of got – he looks like he's throwing darts where it's – he was painting really well in the outside corner, you know, on both lefties and righties. You know, you can have – he has four pitches, but if he can spot all of them, it's more like eight pitches, inside, outside, with whatever. And he was doing a good job of that tonight. You know, I think early we had our opportunity, kind of get some runs across, and didn't happen. And then he settled in and was in his spots pretty well.
Yeah, that fastball.
And, man, you look at the game log and what Wilson has done against the Mariners, and he's pitched really, really well. Last time out, you know, gave up one run in six innings. Time before that, zero runs in seven innings. In fact, you know, he gave up six last year on the 1st of April. But other than that, he hadn't given up more than three in a start since 2010. And that's a long time considering how often he faces the Mariners. I mean, in 2011, four times. In 2012, it was three. In 2013, it was four, and last year it was four again. He faces a team all the time, and for the most part, they've not been able to get to him. He's had some really strong outings. In 13, went eight, fanned 10, gave up one earned run. The difference is, you know, more right-handed pop this time around for the Mariners. When you look at Cruz in the middle of the lineup, and then you look at Weeks at the top of the lineup, more right-handed pop than they've had the last few years, but the result ended up being the same, as C.J. Wilson was just tough. And he can have his control issues, not against the M's. One walk in those eight innings, just two hits, shutout ball, just fan two, let his defense go to work, use Safeco Field to his advantage. Skipper Lloyd McClendon talked about it after the game.
We seem to always catch him on a good night. He's been tough against us, and tonight was no different. He really hit his spots pretty good.
Looks like James had a little bit of a hiccup there in the fourth, other than that.
Yeah, the pitch ran back out over the plate. Location-wise, it, you know, he didn't want it, and Freeze took advantage of it.
That's a pretty good poke on that night, like tonight.
Yeah, he hit that ball pretty good.
What do you think overall?
I thought he was outstanding. He gave us an opportunity to win a ball game, but the other guy was better. Well, it's not the ideal situation. I mean, I got to be honest with you. That's not why I brought him in. To get, you know, but he hadn't pitched in 6 days, and I need to get him in there. And Medina, we had 19 pitches, and I didn't want to overuse him. So it turned out for the best. So I have to be honest with you. I wish I could say I planned that, but, you know, it worked out pretty good.
Hey, I understand it's one game. This is the type of game, though. You went out and got all these right-handed hitters to avoid this type of, lefty coming out there.
Sure we did. That doesn't mean that it's not going to happen, though. It's baseball. Guy pitched a hell of a game tonight.
So there it is. Just one of those games to forget, as this series is now even at one apiece. Mariners still a chance, and I talk about this all the time. You want to take series. That's the goal. Win series. And they have a chance to win a series tonight, and we'll talk about that matchup coming up. But first, a very cool moment as well. It always is when you see a major league debut, especially from really a local kid in Tyler Olson, who grew up in Spokane, but a great story taking the mound, and he throws one pitch and gets two outs out of the deal. That's good stuff.
Here's the pitch on the way. Swinging a ground ball to third. Seager's got it. The throw to second, one. The relay to first. In time, double play. How about that for the kid, Tyler Olson? One pitch in the big leagues, and he gets two outs. Around the horn, 5-4-3. Double play to retire the side. They get Freeze at second, and they double up Ibar at first base. And that young man from Spokane will never forget this night. His first game of the big leagues. One pitch, two outs.
And after the game, he talked about making his major league debut and throwing that one pitch.
It was great. Just like I said, happy to throw first pitch strike and get out of the inning. So come in and do the job that I needed to do.
Yesterday you had lots of friends and family in attendance. Who was here tonight?
My brother, his wife, his kid, and my fiance and her sister were here.
Almost go too fast to get the butterflies out? One pitch?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, they're still in there. So
we saw you in the dugout quite a bit after. What were you thinking at that point when you got back?
Well, I was still thinking if we tied it up that I was potentially going back out. So just ready to get into the game, if we did tie it up and go out there and do the same thing, hopefully.
You talked a little bit about last week. You're still making the adjustment to coming out of the pen. This was the first time where I don't think you knew for sure what situation you would come in. What was that like for you?
It was great. I mean, the thing with our bullpen is we're all really well-rounded, so we can come in any situation. Whether it's, for our lefties to come in and get a lefty out or come in and throw a full inning. So, I think it's good for all of our guys to be able to do, things in certain situations because it takes the pressure off, a lot of guys, knowing that we can do a lot of different things in certain situations.
Are you comfortable with your routine for getting ready to come into a game?
Yeah. I think I found one that, works for me and, I felt good out there, so continue to do it.
Were you able to get anything? Did you get a ball or anything?
Yeah, I got a ball.
Big ball, I guess.
Yeah.
What's kind of the moment like when the door opens, bullpen door, and you come out and all that?
It was crazy. I mean, it's just, a dream come true. This is something I worked for, for a really long time, and just to, have that opportunity to come out, in a big league game is just speechless.
It's good to see Tom Wilhelmsen, too. He pitched a clean inning, fanned a couple. So he pitched well out of the bullpen. Pitching great, just gave up 200 runs, but the Mariners blanked in Game 2 of this series. So this is going to be an interesting matchup tonight, I think, as the series continues. Winner take all in this one. So tonight, 7:10, first pitch from Safeco Field. Matt Shoemaker is going to go for the Angels. Hisashi Iwakuma will pitch for the Mariners. This is a good matchup. Shoemaker, of course, he was the key last year for the Angels. I mean, Richards, of course, had a giant year, but it was Shoemaker who came on and was simply sensational as well to match up with Richards. 16-4 last year, a 3.04 ERA in 20 starts, 136 innings total, was really lights out, saved the season, second in Rookie of the Year voting. And now the question for Shoemaker and for the Angels is, can he repeat? Maybe not to that level, but the Angels desperately need him to be productive in the rotation, so he'll take his first start tomorrow. Hisashi Iwakuma going to the hill for the M's. And by the way, it gets kind of lost in the shuffle of last year how great it is to see Iwakuma start this year in the rotation. Remember, just last season, missed the first month, came back and was good, was vintage, but it's so helpful to have him in the rotation to start the season. And he has pitched really well against the Angels in his career. 6-1, a 2.75 ERA, in 9 starts in his career, 59 innings, 48 strikeouts, his whip under 1. So it's a brutal start to the season for the Angels, who have had a rough time with Felix Hernandez the last few years. They have to face the fireballer in Paxton. They get the win against him, though, and now they have to face Iwakuma. So the Mariners going for the series win tonight. That's what it's all about. It's all about taking series, especially at home. The Mariners, a chance to do that tonight with Iwakuma on the hill. Pretty good place to be. And, of course, we'll have the breakdown in the podcast tomorrow as the Mariners look for the series win. Now we turn our attention to a very important question. How many arrows has Fernando Rodney packed this season? Shannon Dreher, really good piece on Fernando Rodney, starting out with his teammates and Charlie Furbush talking about the Mariners closer.
He's just amazing. I think what he is able to do on and off the field, you know, and really instill in the rest of the guys in the bullpen just to keep things simple, have fun, don't worry about it. Because he knows, you know, we are in sometimes some tough situations and some tough scenarios when we come in the game. And, you know, even talking with him and just being around him, he just, you know, portrays that it's, you know, it's all mental and, you know, don't get too high, don't get too low. So it's a pretty even keel thing that he has going, and it's just great to have him at the end of the bullpen. And he's done a great job in terms of getting to know guys and figuring out, you know, what kind of makes guys tick and makes guys laugh, and it's pretty special.
One guy he likes to make laugh is his catcher, Mike Zunino.
He's a cool guy. Yes, he likes to talk to me, and now we have good communication and try to be like teammate. And every time I tell him something, like we always say, the other day I say, "Hey, have a fastball, 3-seam fastball." What does that mean? You know, they keep my guy happy. Stay with him.
3-seam fastball? That's not the only surprise Rodney has had for Zunino.
Oh yeah, he does that, or he'll tell me he'll always throw a slider in warm-ups, and I always ask him when he wants to use it. And he always says 3-2, you never know the day we'll need it. So I mean it's pretty funny. We try to keep it loose up there. We try to have fun, because I mean it's a stressful boat that he's in, and I think he really embraces that and has a lot of fun doing it.
Wait a second, he doesn't throw a slider, so he comes out on the field in a safe situation and might just throw you a slider in the warm up?
He'll throw it in the warm ups. He has it. But I mean like he says you never know. So I mean it's one of those things where he has in the bag. It's a pretty good pitch too. So I mean if we ever need it, I think he has it in the bag.
To be clear, am I right? Has he thrown that in a game?
Not in a game. No, not okay. Yet. But like as he'll say and tell you all the time, 3-2, you never know. So who knows?
Rodney keeps things loose for the Mariners, but it's all business in the 9th inning. He's set a high goal for himself this season. How many arrows do you have ready for this season?
I got 55 arrows. And if I stay healthy and I have a chance, every time I come there, I'm going to show something.
55 arrows. That's a lot of arrows.
That's not too much. That's something, you know, we guess. I think I'm feeling like I can do it. Mm-hmm. If you have the opportunity and chance, every night I go there to that idea, that reason in my mind, my dream. Mm. 55.
Okay, well, write that down.
Really good stuff there, and maybe Rodney will get a chance to close one down tonight. Mariners, of course, winning game one of the series behind Felix Hernandez. And Aaron Goldsmith, a chance to talk to the catcher for the Angels, Chris Iannetta, who has faced Felix many, many, many times, also has a connection to a couple of Mariners in Kyle Seager and Dustin Ackley. Here's Aaron Goldsmith with Chris Iannetta, the Angels catcher.
You played your college ball at the University of North Carolina. The Mariners have a couple of Tar Heels in their starting lineup every day in Kyle Seager and Dustin Ackley. That's a program that has churned out countless big leaguers. What do they do so right there at North Carolina?
And I think it's everything. I think it's the atmosphere. I think it's the school. I think it's the conference. It's a great baseball conference. You're playing against great competition. You know, great competition breeds a necessity to put out good teams, and they've acquired some good players over the years. And when you're playing against that competition, it makes you a better player. And you know, that ACC is very similar to some of the short season A teams and low A teams. So once you get into pro ball, you're pretty well adjusted.
You played in a game back in 2013. The Angels were on the road at the Coliseum playing the A's. 19 innings, it lasted 6 hours and 32 minutes. You caught all 297 pitches thrown by Angels hurlers that night. What was that game like for you?
It was a marathon, and I definitely could feel it in my shoulder. I couldn't play for two more days. The whole thing locked up. It was definitely tiring, but that was fun. I would have liked to have won that game. Definitely one that we would like to have back. You play that long, and then you fall short. But it was definitely something you could talk about later on.
So you felt it in your shoulder, not so much in your knees or in your hand?
Body felt good. I just made so many throws. I was just fatigued out, got tight, and didn't want to risk it the next couple of days. So she gave me a couple of days off and then get right back at it.
If you take a look at your batting history against various pitchers around the league, there's only one pitcher in your career that you faced more than the man you faced yesterday afternoon on opening day, Felix Hernandez. It seemed like a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago, the Angels really had Felix's number. But the last couple of years, it's been the complete opposite. What's it like facing Felix Hernandez?
Man, he's one of the best. You see it time in and time out. His ability to throw strikes, his ability to change speeds. He's one of the smartest pitchers out there, and he has some of the best stuff. It's a really difficult combination to face as an offensive player.
Do you notice a difference facing Felix when you're in Anaheim at the Big A versus at Safeco Field, especially with the vibe of opening day? You've got Kings Court, almost 50,000 people. Is there a difference when you're in the batter's box?
Not so much in the batter's box. I mean, I'm sure there's a difference. I don't know what that is per se, but I'm sure there is some difference there. I think the advantage of having last at bat and being the home team on that side of it, it plays into it a little bit more. On the road, it's a little bit more difficult. You want to strike first and keep the lead the whole way. Where at home, you have the luxury of always getting the last say.
There it is. I think some pretty interesting stuff. I always love hearing the opponents talk about what it's like facing Felix Hernandez. He had some good stuff to say last night after the ball game too. So this is usually the portion of the podcast where I play something along the lines of Mariners history, but I don't have my files without my computer, so I just can't. I just can't today. Hopefully that's coming in tomorrow's podcast. I'm going to answer a few questions, though. Zachary sent several. Gentle, I think. Zachary Gentle? I think that's right. Several questions here that I'm going to answer. Kind of long, so I'll paraphrase a little bit. The first one is about Dustin Ackley. Zachary, clearly a big Dustin Ackley fan, and really asking kind of a relation to what happened in the offseason with Kyle Seager and his contract. Will that sort of thing happen with Dustin Ackley coming up? And it's a good question. I think this year is going to tell a lot about that sort of conversation. I think it's hard right now to sit here and project that sort of thing. I think for what Kyle Seager was doing, his development, I mean, that was really a no-brainer. Kyle Seager has become a special, special player. And that's in those kind of circumstances, that's generally who you lock up is – guys like that, guy all-star, gold glove, that sort of thing. So we'll see. It's going to be a big year for Kyle Seager, and he's going to have a lot to say about what goes down. Certainly off to a good start with the home run in game one. Second question about Mike Zunino. What about his contract? They're not really in the realm to have that discussion as of yet. I am a big Mike Zunino believer. I think defensively he's so good. Calls a great game, really knows his stuff, does his homework, great at framing pitches, blocking balls, really good defensively. Obviously, his power's there. We've seen that. I think he's going to continue to take strides offensively, has some work to do, getting on base, raising the batting average a little bit, that sort of thing. But, yeah, I think he's a special guy. I think that conversation is going to come, but it doesn't have to come yet. We're still a ways away from that. Asking about first base and Logan Morrison and DJ Peterson and what might happen there. Well, Peterson's starting in Double A, so he's got a ways to go to get to the big leagues. And I think the preference, obviously, would be if Morrison just took hold of the job and Peterson stayed in the minors all season long. I think that would be the best-case scenario for the Mariners. And Morrison's going to get all the opportunity in the world to run with that job, especially after what he did the last half of last year, the last month in particular. I mean, you look at his numbers and, it started in August, hit 302. In September, 342. hit 5 homers, 8 doubles, a giant last month for Morrison, and he's going to get an opportunity to roll that into this year. And I think he has a chance to do it. He's always been a highly regarded player, but the problem is he's had a tough time in general staying on the field. Now, I think playing first base exclusively is going to help that. He played a lot of outfield with Florida, so I think it's going to be easier on the legs, clearly, to play first base. But, you know, you go back to 2011, not that long ago, as a 23-year-old, played in a career-high 123 games, had a career-high 525 plate appearances, hit 23 homers, and drove in 72, and batted 247 along the way. I think Mariner fans would take those numbers in a heartbeat from their first baseman. And if he can stay on the field for that many games, he's got a real possibility to do it. Last year played in 99, second most of his career. Can he up that by 10? Can he up that by 20? 30? I don't know. We'll see. I think this is, you know, this is a big year for Morrison, and he's got the opportunity. So it's a good question. It's a good question. We'll see how that plays out. And finally, the final question about Roenis Elias. And Zachary asked, first of all, he was impressed with Elias last year. I think everybody was. And he's asking, you know, what's kind of going to be his role? I think we're going to see Elias a lot. I think the Mariners are going to use a 6th starter. First of all, these days in Major League Baseball, you need 6, 7, 8 starters to get you through an entire season for whatever reason. Just to get another body, to stretch things out a little bit in a tough stretch of schedule, injury, you know, guy misses a start, guy misses a couple of starts. I mean, you just need other starters along the way, and that's, I think you got to feel great about where the Mariners are at right now. I think we're going to see Elias a lot take his turn. Sometimes it'll be as a 6th guy. Sometime it will be replacing a guy. But, you know, if Paxton and Walker have the kind of seasons we all think they can have, Mariners are going to need them for the season and, fingers crossed, into October. So Elias, too, will be a way to kind of manage innings for those guys as well, if you need to do that, getting, you know, late into the season, but really starting in the middle of the season. I mean, kind of managing that process throughout the entire season. And he's good. Elias had a really good year last year. I mean, talk about a great problem to have. Not many teams are having this conversation about having 6 legit starters, and the Mariners do have 6 legit starters. And I think we're going to see Elias. I think he'll get into double digits in terms of starts this season for the Mariners. So I think we'll see him quite a bit. And thanks for the kind words, Zachary. I know you were at the first 2 games, so I hope you had a good time. And, yeah, I think everyone's pretty excited. So, again, thanks for the questions. And you can always send me questions, GaryHillPXP@gmail.com. I love research projects. I still have a couple I'm working on from last year, which I know sounds ridiculous, but I tried to get to every question. There's some really good ones. Some of them are longer than others, but in terms of just time it takes to research. But I was always impressed with kind of the questions I'd get throughout the season, and I love research projects, so send them my way. But here we are, 2nd game of the season. Mariners fall, now 1-1. But, man, I am so happy we are back daily. We're getting in the groove. This is good stuff. So thanks for being here once again, and we will talk once again tomorrow. So long. See you.